it's all come down to this. You've heard the submissions from finalists Amy and Alex, and now there's just one thing left to do. Judge their shows and crown a winner. Oh, I guess that's two things. And validate their parking. Darn it. All right, three things left to do. How will we fit it all into one episode? Find out today on America's Next Top Podcaster. Hello and welcome to America's Next Top Podcaster. I'm Brian Ibbett. Amy and Alex both started out as podcasteers, but now they're battling against each other head-to-head to win this final challenge and take home the prize. Will it be Amy, the cosplayer and tabletop enthusiast from Boston? Or Alex, the video game and craft beer fan from Northern Virginia? We'll find out after we get some feedback on both contestants from Tom.
So I'm very excited that these are the two finalists. They're both super deserving. Not that there aren't a bunch of deserving people. This has been a really great season. But Alex has a lot of strengths with conversationalism and interviewing. And Amy just has that podcasting voice and the storytelling ability. And they are both headed for things that are in their wheelhouse. Now, I feel like Alex multiplied his difficulty level because we had a little confusion about the rules and he didn't realize that he had to do an episode two. So I could feel him flailing a little bit with this idea of, oh, but I had this idea that I really liked about Bridget. And I was trying to steer him into using that as an episode two without trying to shove too much in it. If he does play to his strengths, he has nothing to stop him from winning this. What could undermine him is if he gets distracted and doesn't resolve that feeling of, oh, but I wanted to do the storytelling podcast and now I have to come up with something else. He's also worried about coming off as doing the same thing again the next week. I think that's an easier problem to solve. If he were to do an interview with Bridget, there's lots of ways to make that different than the interview that he did with Rishi and still have it qualify as an episode two. Amy is super focused. She has picked a high challenge, but she picked a high challenge last week and nailed it. And that's how you win. You pick the high challenge and you execute. Her high challenge this week is to take culinary capers, which was not entirely beloved, and rehabilitate it. And I'll be honest, I was a little nervous when she said that's what she wanted to do. But as she talked about how she wanted to lay it out and the topic that she wanted to do, I felt better about it because I think she does know what were the downfalls of the first episode. She's looking at it as a reboot. She's not going to try to fix the old one. She's just going to say, let's take that concept and make it work this time. And we talked a lot about storytelling and three-act structure and making compelling narrative and using a lot of sound to break it up. So I feel like she's got the advantage in the planning stage right now and absolutely can win this. But I'm really looking forward to both of them.
Hey, if you've been looking for a way to support America's Next Top Podcaster, have I got a deal for you. You can, you can just send your money to us. That's fine. But wouldn't you rather get something in return? How about getting, I don't know, everything in return? Each episode of America's Next Top Podcaster has been carefully curated and managed and edited by our faithful producer, Hammond Chamberlain. But there's so much more stuff that gets left on the cutting room floor. There's tons of work sessions, concept sessions from each of the teams. There's editing or recording sessions with Tom, coaching sessions with Tom and our other guests. There's judging, elimination stuff that gets put on the cutting room floor. How would you like to get all of that material for the entire season with one low price? Well, now you can! I said that just like a sales guy. Now you can. Visit americasnexttoppodcaster.com, scroll down just a little bit, and you'll see the I Want It All package. You gotta sing it just like Freddie Mercury. For $35, you get everything for the entire season, and you even get a vote when it comes down to the finals. Yes, that all-important vote. So buy your way in to supporting America's Next Top Podcaster. It's right there on the homepage. We'll see you there. We're here at the finals. This is it. The big finale to the first season of America's Next Top Podcaster. I'm Brian Ibbett. And as always, I'm joined by our judges, Scott Johnson.
Hello and welcome me back.
And Nicole Spagnolo.
Hey.
and Justin Robert Young.
Hello.
All right, you guys, this is it, the finale.
Woo!
We gave the you guys will get your Mondays back for a little bit here. Yeah. You heard the challenge last week. We basically gave each of our two finalists the chance to hire a team back of all the former contestants, as well as the chance to go back to any of their previous shows or any shows from their team and redo them, or not redo them, but come up with a second episode in that series. And before we get to the specifics on the two shows, what kinds of things were you guys looking for?
Oh, man, I was looking for mainly just some good closure on what qualities brought these folks to the end. By that, I just mean, you know, what would Alex do that is most Alexy, and what would Amy do that's the most Amy-like thing? And would they amplify that? Would they really exemplify why we've all found ourselves with them at the top? And that's what I wanted. I don't know what that is as defined by anything other than my vague description, except except they're both extremely talented and had me super excited to see what they did. And I'm happy to say nobody made mistakey, garbagey crap this week. Nobody. It was all good. Like, everything was good. In fact, I'll say right up front without giving anything away, these are two podcasts I would subscribe to and listen to on the regular if they started them.
Darn, I was hoping you were going to say there were three podcasts you'd subscribe to, but I'll take it. I'll take the
yeah, that third one, I don't know. Maybe.
And hopefully, I'm glad to see that Alex didn't go full Amy and Amy didn't go full Alex. So I guess we're good there. Nicole, what were you looking for?
I just was really looking forward to a second episode of a bunch of podcasts that we've only heard like one. I mean, we're kind of in this bubble and they're creating these podcasts. And I'm really curious to see if these shows actually become something. I mean, I really do think that these two especially could be podcasts that they should make. So
yeah, I think so too. Were there any podcasts from previous challenges that you wished they would have gone back to, or that you were hoping to see a revisit?
Me in particular?
You in particular, yes.
I don't have a very good memory. I mean, honestly, Culinary Capers is the one I was looking for, so I was very happy to hear that one.
Good. And Justin, how about you? What were you looking for this week?
I was looking for something very specific. I wanted the show that knew what it was on episode 2 that would make me want to tell the world to listen to episode 3. I think that we are at a point now where it's not about demonstrating skill. We know they're very skilled. Mm-hmm. It's not about making excuses for, oh, well, they could have done this or they could have done that if they had longer than a very pressure-packed week where they had to organize. We know that they have this talent because they've demonstrated it week after week after week. And quite frankly, it's not about whether or not they deserve it, because they both do. What I wanted was a tiebreaker. Both of these people are extremely talented, and one of them is going to win, and the other was going to get a lesson about why they were awesome and how they can further their careers. Because I believe that in a year's time, both of these people, if they put their mind to it, can and should be making a significant portion of their living doing either these shows or shows like them.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Totally agree. Great. Well, let's get into it, and let's bring in our two finalists, Alex and Amy. Hello, guys.
Hello.
Oh, hi.
Yeah.
And bring you both in, even though we're still going to do judging on one of you guys at a time. And we're going to start with Alex.
Oh, boy.
And you know what? Let's talk about who you had on your team. So you had Rishi, you had Jerry, and you had Bridget. A very good cross-section of the teams, actually, right?
Yeah, and I'm really glad it worked out that way, because there was really great perspective that every single person brought to the team from the variety of different experiences that everybody's had on this show so far. So it was very well welcomed. I really liked it.
That's good. Did you have any problems keeping people reined in, specifically Bridget? No, specifically Rishi?
Oh, no, well.
Specifically all three of them.
Other than Rishi's normal tirade about how much he hates this show and you guys, and Bridget's constant use of the F word, right. You know, they've required quite a bit of editing, but, you know, nothing that I couldn't handle, I guess.
Very good.
And Jerry was just back there eating popcorn and laughing at the whole thing.
It's a very safe place to be. Yeah. No, I enjoyed your show tremendously, and let's talk about what it was. Which show did you go back to?
So we went back to Film First, and even before we go back to that, we had a couple of ideas to do some kind of an interview or a storytelling podcast, and we were going to feature Bridget because it's Bridget, and mm-hmm. we decided not to do that just because it didn't seem quite like the genuine thing to do from our conversations. And this is what was so great about working with this group of folks, is that everybody was super critical and thought really hard about what would be the most impactful for our judges as sort of a final competition submission. So we ended up doing Film First, and we said, one, because this was actually an idea that the podcasteers had that we were originally thinking about leading with. It was between this and the other one. And I said, you know what? I want to try that. I love movies. I think it would be a really fun conversation. And we did quite a bit of research, and we found ourselves finding more and more passion about the subject that we decided to go with. So we discovered that, hey, Willow was a pretty significant piece of movie history. And it's not something that I quite realized, and it forced me to watch Willow for the first time, which was really fun. So it was a whole lot of fun all wrapped up, and I had a really great time putting this together for you guys.
Very cool. I'm surprised that was your first viewing of Willow, although
yeah, me too.
And any you know, any plans to follow the career of Warwick Davis through all of his other non-Star Wars, non-Harry Potter film escapades? Have there been any non-Star Wars, non-Harry Potter film escapades for Warwick Davis?
No.
I was just thinking about that. I don't know.
I don't think there have been.
Are you guys forgetting the HBO show Life's Too Short?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
That's such a great show, yeah.
Yeah, Ricky Gervais, Stephen Merchant. Might have been the last Ricky Gervais, Stephen Merchant show.
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. It was good, too.
Definitely worth checking out, for sure. So you met with Tom. What suggestions did Tom have during the coaching for you guys?
Well, Tom was giving his, you know, normal, awesome sound advice on the two ideas that we kind of came to the table with. And we actually came to the table thinking, oh, let's do a new show about the about, you know, interviews or something like that. And then you stepped in and said, wait. Hold on. I don't think you quite remember what the challenge was.
That's right. I forgot that I actually interrupted Tom's for the first time ever in the history of America's Next Top Podcaster. I actually interrupted Tom's coaching to clarify the rules.
And it was well received because we were about to go off on a direction that I don't think was wise. You know, in the end, he provided really good sound advice on, you know, just how to be genuine and really go with an idea that's going to be that good mix of, you know, the right thing to do at this point in the competition, leading with the strength, but also doing something kind of profound and different.
Very good. And you and Bridget obviously were kind of the front, the lead vocalists, so to speak, on the show. How did you incorporate Rishi and Jerry into this?
Yeah, so both of them were big contributors in writing out doing some of the research, helping to write out what we were going to say. We scripted some things, we didn't script others, and we had some really good help from them to just make it engaging, make sure that we were capturing the really important pieces of why Willow was a big part of movie history.
Cool. You know, I gotta appreciate and call out Bridget for figuring out a way to turn Moses into a verb. Mosesing down the river.
Actually, that was Jerry.
Jerry did that? All right. Jerry needs congratulations for that. Well done, sir.
But if there's anybody who's going to deliver on saying got Moses down a river, it was going to be Bridget.
And lastly, did you go back and listen to the first movie judging episode and kind of take some of the feedback there? And if so, what did you incorporate?
I did. The biggest thing I incorporated was not saying, hey, tune in next time for when we do this thing, because Jerry would yell at us.
That totally, yes. Good catch on that. I was wise. Listening for that. Yes.
Wise.
Very wise.
All right, excellent. Well, let's go ahead and get to the judging. Speaking of the judges, we're going to begin this one with Scott.
Okay, I really liked it. This was already a show I liked the first time. It's material that's of interest to me as someone who co-hosts a popular movie podcast and has been doing so for many years now, 10 years almost. I have interest in this particular stuff, and I've done it long enough that I can kind of see where your potential cracks might be or whatever. And I really like the structure of it. I liked it before. I liked it even more now. It's hard to say that anything in this thing is inherently wrong or bad. 'Cause there's nothing bad in it. It's excellent. The editing is great. Solid voices all around. I thought Alex did an incredible job as usual running things. And it's a fine format for a show. The only knock I would give it is, just from an outside observer that isn't me, it may not seem super groundbreaking. It may not be the sort of thing that makes them go, oh, that's a show I'll just have to sub to immediately and make sure I catch every week. There's a lot of shows like this. And so it's a little bit of a stiff competition thing. I'm not sure that's a knock necessarily. It's just, you know, it would be entering a very crowded market. It was also fun as a hater of Willow to visit the film again in a way through you and your eyes. And I can't stand that movie, and I don't really even know why I don't like it so much, but it was fun to hear you guys give some history and talk about it in ways that I hadn't considered before. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, it's really, there's not much here to knock. It's just from top to bottom, well-constructed, well-made, and doesn't really feature too much in the way of weak holes for me. It is exactly as it is. And I think, like I said at the top of the show, it's the kind of show I would probably subscribe to. Even in this final hour of our final destination here on this show, you guys are making it really hard to find much to nitpick. It's all really solid stuff. And Alex, I think you did a great job, and so did everyone helping you.
Thank you.
Very good. Nicole.
So kind of going to echo Scott. Good, solid podcast. Enjoyed listening to it. I, unlike Scott, love Willow. I grew up with this movie. It was one of my favorites as a kid. And it made me wanted to watch again. In fact, I loved how you spliced in some of the clips from the movie. And I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about that scene. So it was enjoyable. To listen to. Nothing really jumped out per se. Kind of, again, I'm just going to echo Scott. It seems like it would be something that might already have something out there like it, but I could be wrong. But yeah, I enjoyed it. Thanks.
Yeah. All right, so we're back. We had a little bit of a technical issue with Justin's internet connection. He is back with us. He is communicating from a bunker in Riyadh. Nice. So
it's racist.
Anyway, so we just finished with Nicole's feedback to Alex, and you were next.
Alex, this was a great show. This is a great show. I think if there are notes that I have, it's that you really, with a show like this, need to avalanche people with facts. And it's got to be about the people that are there. You shouldn't think of the movie as much as a thing that we're all enjoying, or we all enjoyed, or we have opinions on, but rather a project that happened in a certain year where professionals got together and made a thing. Because that's really where the story here is something like the Morph, right? The Morph now happens all over the place. But what were the precursors and who did it? The more that you focus on that, the more that you focus on the craft, the less you're going to leave yourself open to criticism like I liked or didn't like the movie. Because if it's about if it's not, the more you guys spent talking about your opinions of the movie, the more you're asking the audience to say, judge my show based on how much you liked or didn't like it, or how much you know or don't know about it. And if you're playing on that level, you're always going to be subject to people's whims. If you're doing it on the level of technical capacity, and this is something I would say going forward, if you choose to do this, I would encourage you to reach out to a lot of these guys. Special effects guys do not get the coverage that actors do or writers do. I think that there's a very good chance that even if you're not locking them down for interviews, you could probably shoot them a couple questions via email, and you'd get some really, really, really good tidbits and probably a fuller story than you'd be able to find by just Googling around. And those are the kinds of factoids that I think take these things to the next level. All that being said, this, I came into this judging saying, trying to bury my personal feelings about you guys and just look at which show knew more about who they wanted to be. In my opinion, this was that podcast. Based on my opinion and my vote, you, my vote made you the winner of this competition in terms of my own judgment. I don't know what everybody else did, but I would say this was a great, great, great job by you.
Excellent.
Thanks.
I love the idea, by the way, of if you continue doing this show, I love the idea of reaching out to the people responsible for those film firsts, like Justin was saying, and get them in for interviews or at least get some stories from them. I think that's a great idea. So
yeah,
good job, awesome. Jerry. All right. And Mr. Bird. Good job, Mr. Bird.
Mr. Bird.
I'm sorry, Dr. Always. Bird. He didn't go to 4 years of doctor school to be called Mr.
All right.
Let's go to Amy. Amy, tell us about the show that you went back to and what choices you had along the way.
So we definitely, Monday after we got the assignment, we definitely spent an hour trying to talk myself out of doing Culinary Capers. Mm-hmm. went through literally every other show that was done. But this show was my baby. This show was the show that I was the most connected to. It's the show that saved me. And I wanted to... Like, for me, it wasn't going back to something that I was comfortable with. It was proving that this idea was something that could work and something that would be compelling and fun to listen to. And so that's why I went back to Culinary Capers. And this time we covered the Shed at Dulwich, the most popular, the most highly rated restaurant in London on TripAdvisor that did not exist.
Now, when you met with Tom... you'd already had a lot of this stuff already figured out. I'm trying to remember, did you guys already know the story that you were going to focus on? I remember that you'd already gotten to the decision of Culinary Capers, but
I think we had, there were a few others that we looked at that were like, there was this whole thing about a vineyard and, you know, people that bought a vineyard together and then one of them got murdered for the money and things like that. And it was a compelling story, but it wasn't a caper. It didn't have that same feeling that the great Canadian maple syrup heist had. It didn't have that sort of hijinks that this story has. So I'm pretty sure that we knew what we were doing at Tom Time.
Okay.
But I'm not.
I know. It was almost a whole week ago. How am I supposed to remember that?
It was a heck of a week.
I know you did go back and listen to the original food judging round. What kinds of things did you implement from that to make this one better?
So one of the things that we definitely did that was a high priority for me was breaking up the narrative more. And we are lucky enough that with this story, we have a lot of sound clips available to us directly from the event as it happens. So that's good. That was probably one of the biggest ones was, you know, breaking it up. Yeah. And then making sure like that it was solidly edited, solidly put together, that the, you know, narration was the high quality that we have come to expect.
For sure.
And, you know, it was in, like the first one, the team really came together and everybody did their thing and made a good show in the end.
And really was good. I enjoyed this one as well. And I was really hoping you guys were going to be able to find a guitar, an acoustic number about the Shed.
Right. About the Shed at Dulwich. Yeah. So help me, Joe looked. He was in it to win it on this one. He tried.
See, I would have docked points because you didn't commission somebody to write and perform an original song about the Shed at Dulwich.
Yes, right? In the 4 days. Yes,
exactly.
Yep. Yep.
Very good. Well, let's get to the judges, and we'll start this one with Nicole.
So I, of course, love the concept for this podcast. So I'll admit, I didn't love Culinary Capers as much as everyone else did. Like, I was like, oh, it was a good one, but I wasn't like, oh my God, it was so good. But I'm so glad you picked this because I would love to hear more stories. It was so fun to listen to. I love the editing. I love the sound clips. I love how you got everybody to do the review reads. That was a lot of fun. I felt happy listening to it. I will say I wanted somebody to get arrested. Like I'm like, how did that guy get away with all this? I'm like, oh, he worked for a magazine or whatever the company worked for. But it felt like somebody should have gotten in trouble. But then I realized, right? I'm like, yeah. Oh, it's capers. It doesn't necessarily, it's not culinary crimes. It's capers. So right. For me, I'm like, that's fine. I would love for you to have submit your story here because I really want to hear your take on the weird McDonald's stories I'm obsessed with recently. Like two big McDonald's.
All the ones that take place in Florida.
There's two big McDonald's heist money things. And I would love to hear your dive and research on it because you do amazing research for these stories. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was fun. I liked it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Amy.
Mm-hmm.
You know my affection for this show and this concept. These are the perils of expectations. And in a way, you really had to live the life of a show as it would be in the wild much more than Alex did because, you know, this was a show that had the reputation of being just such a great concept when you guys first did it. And so you have to make the decision on where you go from here. And it was the reason why I actually fought with Ibit that you guys should be allowed to do this in the final round because mm-hmm. I think it's as much as a curse as it is a gift because now we know whether or not it is as good as the first one. There's that danger of that second bowl of cereal, but podcasts aren't cereal. They're things that we get. Well, I guess they are cereal, like with an S, but not a C. you have to continue to go and grow and get better. So here's my feedback. And this is, you know, one member of the audience, but I agree with Nicole, a caper needs a victim. And there was no victims here. I mean, maybe people that were calling to look for a reservation, but he didn't take their time and he didn't take their money. And when he did have an event, it was, you know, maybe not everything that the people might have had in their heads, but even as we get in the happy ending at the end, everybody wanted to come back because it was such a sweet, bespoke moment for everyone.
But
I don't think. What was that?
I said, weren't we the victims, though? Like, we're the fools? Kind of.
For how?
TripAdvisor. Like, we're fooled into the. Anyway, sorry, I interrupt you, Justin.
No. I mean, I'm up for interpretations. I didn't hear it. And that's not why I liked the first one. I love the first one for this reason. Amy, you and your crew are exceptional. And specifically, you're exceptional in telling a story with your easygoing voice and your thorough research and your production. That's sweet. What was fun about the maple syrup heist was that these are dumb criminals and their stories are being told by somebody that was so even-handed and easygoing and there for us to have a good time. I put my finger on it while I was thinking about how much I didn't like this one, that you guys are the Coen brothers. You are in a world of grisly crime shows, talking about murder and death and betrayal in stark ways or dark ways, or even like laugh so we're not crying kind of ways, where it's all about the details and the families, and we have that element of our brain worked to a fevered pitch. You found such an amazing niche that you can tell a story about something that we all know, food, and then make the seasoning stupid criminals and the delivery method, you guys. This didn't get me there. So I didn't like it. But that being said, I hope that you continue with this. And I am absolutely sure that it is going to be more successful than anything I have ever done in my career. So ultimately, the joke's on you. I have nothing but faith in you guys, but this was not it for me.
Very good. All right. Thanks, Justin. Before we get to Scott, Joe actually uncovered something. He can't, his microphone's off because he's not able to talk where he's at. But I think, Bill, you want to read what you found or what Joe found?
Yeah. So just as a rebuttal to Justin, which, God, I've been wanting to do this since forever. just as a rebuttal to Justin, Joe looked up what a caper is. And he said it's an activity or episode, typically escapade. One that is illicit or escapade, sorry. Typically one that is illicit or ridiculous. And I definitely think that this falls into the ridiculous category.
I mean,
well Brian, that leads. Oh, good. Let's have Justin answer that.
Go whatever. Ahead. Fine. Like, you know, you wanted to have the definition. That's cool. I'm just telling you why I like the first one and I thought the second one was bad.
Caper, right? That's what I was thinking. Like Muppet, Great Muppet Caper.
The Great Muppet Caper. Oh yeah.
That's right. Nobody died in the Great Muppet.
I know.
No, just a lot of Muppets being violated with hands up their butts.
What were you going to say, Scott?
I was just going to lead into my comments by saying that I think Justin's smoking a special brand of crack. I don't know what he listened to compared to what I listened to, but this was, mm-hmm. Well, maybe, but I came into this thinking, I wanted to see what she did to improve upon the format. And I wanted to hear another quote unquote caper. And the fact that there was like this big, I'm actually a little surprised that Justin, you didn't like it, given that it's kind of a thing you guys are good at, like this, you know, getting a book of weird stuff from the community published and made number one on iTunes book sales, or, you know, like this is
what, yeah, I wouldn't want anything that we've done on that show, because that's not that show, at least the one that I had. And yes, it is about expectations, but that's the danger. And by the way, those are the expectations that we deal with all right. the time on our show. You know, God forbid you do a show that's a little bit too far from what people expect. And the art of this is managing that and building upon that and making sure that you create something in that Venn diagram between what you want to do and the expectations.
I think even in your expectations, though, I think that this could have been a just fine episode in a series of 10 for you. For me, it was as good as the first one and in some ways better. And here's the reasons why. I thought that the research was better and more thorough. I thought that Amy's level of confidence and voice and sound and tone was higher than it was.
Which is good because I recorded in a hotel closet.
I would have never known that. It did not sound like that at all. It sounded like it's almost like somebody came to you guys and said, hey, we got a little money we'd like to invest in a show. Do you guys want to take this to the next level and for your next episode? That's what it felt like to me. And I felt like you guys did that and did so really deftly. Like this was interesting to me because what a hoax that thing is. And it's fascinating to find out how it worked and how did people get it pulled over their eyes.
Flimsy.
And I don't need a victim every week.
TripAdvisor is like, to be able to be gamed that easily.
I also don't think Culinary Capers is always going to, if it ends up being a real show, let's say you do a series of six at a time or something, it doesn't strike me as the kind of show that's always going to have some illegal, illicit thing happening. There's plenty of material out there, don't get me wrong, but there's lots of room for you to zero in on stuff that's less criminal and more just goofy or weird. Like, this was weird that this was even a thing. How you explained it was fascinating to me. I'd never heard of it. I loved it. To me, it was the best of the two this week, and it was everything I was hoping that you would achieve. And it's absolutely a show I would continue to listen to. And there were times where I felt like I was listening to something from Gimlet or NPR or something. And I don't just mean your voice. It felt like a real production to me. If I had anything to knock it with, it would just be, it felt like a lot of reading and less of your improv style, or where you're sort of just speaking. And I'm a little spoiled by your diary week, so I know that.
But you don't get two of those in a row.
That's true. I think there's probably a way to tune that so that you know, like every, I don't know if you guys know this, but every time there's a This American Life, he's reading, but it doesn't feel like it. He's got this skill for making it sound like it's just off the cuff. And in some ways it is, but he's got a script. He just doesn't sound like he's reading the script. That's the only thing. And even then, it's not really a knock. It's more like, I don't know, just something I think that would actually improve an already good production. I think the editing was great. The research made it feel smart and like you guys knew what you were talking about and not just throwing a fake show at us. It was awesome. I really liked it. And I think you killed it this week.
Very good.
Thank you.
Well, let's go ahead and let me talk really quickly because I do want to make sure I give Brad and Gidget some redemption. Gidget had the idea for our team, this third team, this magical third team, to go back and revisit the Hollywood fairy tale stories, Hollywood bedtime stories. I don't even know the name of this podcast. and kind of go back and revisit that with some of the advice that the
tell me a
is
story.
That what it's called? Tell me a story. Thanks. All right, good. and get some redemption on that because Gidget had a completely different idea that was actually more in line with the criticisms that the judges had come up with for the show. So when she said, "Oh, let's do that one and come up with a movie for it," Brad and I both jumped at the chance to help put that together. And look, I know there's a lot of callbacks to other shows, so it wouldn't really work as a podcast series. But I do have to really give some kudos to Gidget and Brad, especially Brad for number one, attempting that Australian accent again. And number two, Brad's kids for the great acting job that they did as well as Gidget and he.
that was my notes. The kids were cute.
I know. There's like these long, laborious notes for Amy and Alex's show. And for Nicole, I get the kids were cute. And for Scott, I get what?
Not even spelled right. I just put W-U-T.
Totally fine. That was thrown in there just for fun. And Gidget, Brad, I think we had a lot of fun doing that, right? Would you guys agree?
Total fun. That was great.
Yeah, absolute blast. It was good times.
I would do a podcast.
It was very relaxed as well.
Anytime you wanted to. That was a lot of fun. All right. And one more thing before we get to the scoring and announce a winner. For this one and this one only, we all allowed our backers, both on Kickstarter and since Kickstarter, to chime in with votes. So tallied those up. We'll talk about those in a minute, but they had some feedback as well. Film first or first film sounded like two people talking about a film first and having fun doing it. I would totally subscribe to FF, somebody said. Really fun. Both were great, and I would subscribe to both in a heartbeat. Let's see. For Culinary Capers, somebody said, "I've already mentally subscribed. Where can I add this to my list? Please seriously make this podcast." Both sounded very professional. I liked how First Films was very conversational. Can we have a Shed franchise on the Brooklyn Bridge? I would book today. When will the feed XML get loaded to iTunes and Google? I think that's for me. I don't know if that's for First Films or...
Yeah, that's for you.
And they're
you,
not paying attention because the feed is already on both iTunes and Google. So whoever said that one. And let's see here. Oh, and somebody said, I don't understand how there were two people on... First Films and only one on Culinary Capers, saying that, but I'm sure that's going to be explained. And hopefully now with this, you're getting caught up and you understand that the two finalists had teams that they were working with. So I thought that was interesting feedback. All right, let's get to the scoring. And before we even got to the audience vote, it was already a very, very close 1-point difference in the scores added up from Scott, Nicole, and jury. Completely unfiltered. They provided their points and didn't know that it was going to be that close. So 1-point difference separated you guys before we got to the backer contributions. The backer contributions had it at a 4-1 vote, so it was like 8 points for one of you and 2 points for the other. Our winner of the first season of America's Next Top Podcaster is Amy. Congratulations, Amy, on the win.
Congrats.
Thank you. I said I was going to cry either way, and I was right. Cool.
It was extremely, extremely close. And so you guys.
Oh yeah, both I'm sure.
You had your teeth. You had great. Your teeth, wisdom teeth extracted. You got sick
during the competition. Ooh. Yep.
Oh. Yeah, pneumonia.
Exactly. You recorded in a hotel closet.
Closet. Yep. Yep. So I was in this. Yeah,
you
man.
Were. Yes. I think everybody was in this, but you guys.
Oh, yeah,
you
absolutely.
Guys, at the end, absolutely persevered through week after week after week. Some of the questions that I think we have for you now. Is Culinary Capers going to be a real thing? Are you guys going to do this?
Oh, yes. The podcasters are, we're going to take a little bit to, unwind from this scenario. Yeah. But yes, no, we are all getting back together and we are doing Culinary Capers because we all love it. I mean, that was part of it for me, right? That was the show I wanted to do because that was the show I had the most fun doing.
That's awesome.
And so,
Joe already secured that Twitter.
Yes, he already got us the Twitter handle.
Is there a better email address than this is not a real email address at gmail.com?
Oh, yes, it's a domain, though.
Yes,
it's a restaurant in Vancouver.
Really?
Curse you, Canada.
Sounds like the subject of our next story.
Canada.
How a restaurant in Vancouver survived with negative ratings.
How a podcast ran a restaurant in Vancouver out of business and stole their URL.
Story of all the cockroaches that live in Culinary Capers in Vancouver.
Culinary Capers.
Very good. Now, so I guess podcasters includes Alex. So Alex, you're kind of, winning in not winning, right? Like your not win is also a win.
Oh yeah, Amy is like my kindred spirit in this competition.
This was like this was both what I wanted and super hard because I adore Alex so much. So like,
what you don't realize is like, on Discord we're like, no, you're gonna win, no, you're gonna win, and it's just constant back and forth and super supportive. Yeah. I'm super happy
That's
for
cool.
him.
Well,
so
in
proud.
The next season, Thank I'm gonna
you.
Encourage that.
I'm proud of you.
Encourage people fighting. That's what I'm gonna do. So.
Amy, you suck. I'm out of here.
Get out.
Place.
Get wrecked, Alex.
All right. So as part of your prizes, Amy, you are going to get a show on the Frog Pants feed for a year. I don't know if that's going to be something you're already currently producing or Culinary Capers or whatever, but we'll talk with you about that afterwards. You're also getting a $100 Sweetwater gift certificate. Sweetwater is a really cool site that sells recording equipment, mixers, microphones, stuff like that. Originally, Hammond and I actually had a mixer and a microphone planned, but we're like, well, her audio already sounds good. So in the case that Amy wins, we'll do this one instead.
So
awesome. Thank you.
And then Hammond is also working on some trophies. So in addition to all the other work that Hammond does, he's working on trophies. And of course, there's going to be America's Next Top Podcaster t-shirts, and there's lanyards and cups and things like that. So we'll have those going out to you as well. So
awesome.
Congratulations to all of our players, all of our contestants. You guys were all awesome. I'm glad you guys could all be here.
One of the things that we failed to talk about, and I thought it would eventually come up, was, and I get this question all the time, is how do I make money with my podcast?
Oh yeah. Can you talk about that?
So I really feel like this was really good to like hone your podcast. But what I'd like to offer to Amy is if she ever would like to do any kind of conversations about sponsors and advertising, I deal with companies all the time. I'm sure Justin and Scott does too. I'd be more than happy to spend time with you to talk about a marketing strategy and all that fun stuff, because it's a little overwhelming. But you have that's what typically what you say is focus on your podcast, get it going, and then deal with the other stuff. But it is good to have a strategy around that too. So I would be more than happy.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And Nicole has worked Bill Duran on Punished Props, worked with Steven Schleicher for the major spoilers stuff. Just other people I know in the Frog Pants. Even me, yes, with Coverville. Like, stuff that I've implemented was because of Nicole. So, it's great advice and a great person to give it. So,
and very cool. when you talk about money, it's like, oh, money's like, no, if you want to do this for a living, we got to figure out a way to make that happen. So, I'd be more than to help you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Well, congratulations and big, big, big thanks to our judges this season, Scott, Nicole, Justin. Thank you guys for doing this.
Thank you for it.
Yeah. It was a pleasure.
Oh, it was transformative. I mean that honestly. Watching you guys put stuff together on such a short timeline with such high quality made me reevaluate everything that I'm doing. You guys were an inspiration to me, and specifically both the finalists. You guys are something special. Mm,
very cool. Thank you. Hey, can I mention something, Brian, before we go?
A couple more people to thank, but I'll get to them after you.
Oh, yeah. So one thing I wanted to mention, you know, Nicole, you hit it on the head. It was the last episode. One of the things that I don't know if you guys realize is that we see you guys, you're the judges, Tom, Brian, Hammond. You know, these are all people that are doing this work that we want to be doing for a living. And being able to work with you guys and taking that sort of feedback that you guys have been giving has been honestly like one of the most impressive things that I've had in my quote unquote podcasting career, and one of the most important things that I've had. And it's been apparent even with listeners of my shows who have been like, dude, it sounds like you've like leveled up a little bit. And that's all due to, you know, having the opportunity to collaborate and work with a lot of folks.
Oh, yeah. My co-host on my show just told me that he has now realized how much I phone it in. So thanks for that.
Yeah. Awesome. Huge difference. Huge difference.
That's awesome to hear that. That's really cool.
Yeah. Appreciate that. All right. Some other quick things real quick. Big thanks to Hammond, who has been editing this week after week. You never get to hear him on the show, but he deserves a special call out and a special thank you because of all the work that he puts in week after week, listening to all the audio that comes out of this show and then figuring out which parts are the best and assembling all that with aplomb, with great aplomb. So well done, Hammond. Thanks also to Andrew Allen for our music, and big thanks to everybody who supported the show on Kickstarter. We'll be opening things up for probably a Patreon going forward, so keep your ears open for that. More importantly, keep your eyes on the website, America's Next Top Podcaster, because in late April, we will open it back up to applicants for season 2. So keep an eye out. If you are a budding podcaster and you want to try your hand at this, then you definitely want to get involved, and we'll be taking applicants around the latter part of April to do it all again. Whew. Yeah, no kidding. That's it. Any last words? Anybody? Anyone want to throw anything in?
Oh, go ahead.
Just awesome work, host Brian. You don't get enough credit either. We should talk about you once in a while. Thanks. You're awesome. That certainly this thing. Wasn't.
Yeah, great job, Ibit. This is such an amazing concept, and you and Hammond did a phenomenal job.
Can you give Brian a round of applause?
I was not fishing.
This
for
way
that,
you can so. Sync all your audio up. You can sync all the audio up there later. You go, with yes, all the claps. Use the
clap. Hammond just.
I mean, I really
clap.
Feel like you created a series that someone can say, "I really want to get into podcasting. How do I do that?" I mean, other than you got to get this mixer, blah blah blah. I feel like you took something that's very hard to put in words and put it into a structure that allows someone to listen to and really get inspired by. So,
well, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. The weird part is how you executed. Like, I don't know. I can't speak for everybody else, but it felt like this was going to be hard to pull off. And somehow you guys just, I don't know how you did it, but you did it. And it not only did it, but it felt really good and worked. And dispelled all my misgivings about how hard this would be. Like, it would kill me to do it. I don't know how
it worked because of you guys. So the applause for me is redirected, ricocheted back at all of you guys. So thank you very much. All right, then, on behalf of our judges, our producer, our host, our contestants, and everybody, thank you all for listening to America's Next Top Podcaster. We'll see you for season 2. Thanks again for listening. Bye-bye.
Man, I cannot believe this is over, to be honest. I'm still looking forward to coaching every week, and I'm sad. I'm sad that I won't be able to get to hang out with these great podcasters and brainstorm with them and see how their brains work and sort of test my ideas of what I think makes a good podcast and try to help them benefit from that experience. And of course, I learned a ton from them. Not only in working with them on how to identify what makes a good episode, but also just seeing what they did after we had a conversation, which wasn't always what I said they should do, and most of the time turned out even better than we had expected. So huge congratulations to Amy. 100% deserved. It was a tough crowd, though. I can't imagine that it was an easy decision by the judges, and there were so many good people in this competition. But man, she took risks in the last 2 weeks, and I know it's a reality show cliche, but especially in the later rounds, when you take risks and you make it work, you win. And she did that on this show. It's something that I've seen in Top Chef and American Idol and The Voice, and it totally still applies. So I guess there is some reality to reality shows. Also want to thank everybody associated with the show for including me. I sort of charged in to Ibit and I was like, hey, I heard you're doing this thing. I want to do it. I want to be the coach. I want to be the Jimmy Iovine. And Brian was like, yeah, I was going to talk to you about this. This is great. Of course, we'd absolutely love to have you. And he was really kind in the feedback on how I was doing every week, and liked what we were doing. So huge, huge thanks to everyone associated with this, Ibit, Hammond, the judges, the contestants, for letting me be a part of it. It was really fun. Anyway, I'm excited to do it again. I hope people enjoyed eavesdropping a little bit on our coaches' conversations, and I know I have absolutely enjoyed talking with all the contestants about this, and here's to next time.
This first season of America's Next Top Podcaster comes to a close, but we're doing more. Think you've got what it takes to be a contestant on the next season of the show? We want to hear from you. Visit americasnexttoppodcaster.com and apply today. From all of us here at ANTP headquarters, ANTP HQ, why not? We'll see you next season on America's Next Top Podcaster.
Oh, wow. Holy crap, you guys. Like, what a journey. This has been one of the most incredible experiences of my life. I think this has really stepped up my game as a podcaster. I have had an opportunity to podcast now with some of my heroes in the podcasting world. This has been one of the coolest things ever. And I hope that you guys at home have really enjoyed listening to this. I've talked to a lot of people who listen to the show that said, wow, this is like super impactful for me, even as a listener, to know that, you know, this is what it takes to be a really good podcaster. It's super cool. And I'm glad to have been a part of adding value to everybody listening here. But selfishly, I am really happy that I had an opportunity to meet all these people who have similar goals, aspirations, dreams to do this thing and to do it well and to podcast with, again, some of our heroes. Like Scott Johnson is the reason I podcast. I listened to him doing the instance, what was it, 4 or 5 years ago. And the more I listened to him and discovered TMS, discovered Brian, Tom, Hammond, you know, Justin and Nicole, the more I was like, you know, I want to do this. I've always enjoyed talking and I've always enjoyed being a resource to people and adding value to people's lives. And I like to think that that's what I am able to accomplish with podcasting. I think that this has, again, it's been an opportunity for me to leverage a passion of mine to continue to learn and bring it back into the projects that I do and continue to add value. So, hey, and a special shout out to Amy Frost. What a competitor, what a teammate, what a friend. And she came into this thing saying, I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to win this thing. And I always tell her, but you did. And you know, she did on both accounts, guys. She made friends. She won this thing. In the back of my mind, I thought from the beginning, I said, Amy is going to win this thing. And here she is. And I am so, so, so proud of you, Amy. I can't say it enough. Like, what an awesome accomplishment. And I'm looking forward to collaborating with you in the future. It has been a hell of a ride. I could say hell, right? I'm not being Bridget and not dropping F-bombs. Okay. Whatever. There you go. Bleep that out, Hammond. What a great ride it's been. I thank everybody for the support and look forward to more coming from me. I am really looking forward to doing a lot more in this podcasting realm. So I'm going to do a quick plug. You know what? I've got all of y'all's attention. I'm going to do a quick plug of me. Okay. All right. So you can check out thedadchronicle.com. And that's my fatherhood podcast. If you guys are dads out there and you want to share your story, I'm always looking for dads to talk to and to support the community of fathers out there. And if you like video games, I do a video game podcast. It's Joystick and Mouse. You can go to joystickandmouse.com to see that. And again, I just want to say special thanks to Brian, Hammond, Scott, Jury, Nicole, Tom, every single guest, judge, and guest coach week after week. You guys have been an inspiration and I can't wait to see you guys in Vegas. Oh yeah, and that goes for anybody here. Like if you're listening to this and you're going to be at TMS Vegas here in 2019, come say hi. I'd love to have a drink with you. Oh, and I got one more thing to say. Shout out to my wife. You know, my wife Deanna was such a rock star during this thing. She helped me a lot by, you know, taking care of our daughter, doing stuff around the house while I was busy doing a ton of work on this show. You know, we mentioned it on the show, but this is a lot of work. My wife, Deanna, has been an absolute trooper. So I think the biggest thanks, most of all, is thank you to her for allowing me to pursue this dream of mine, this passion of mine. So I don't know how to end this thing, so I'm just going to say, see ya.
So that's that then. It's a little surreal and I am definitely both happy and sad that it's over. I'm sad that I don't get to work on all these cool projects and with all these incredible people. I don't get to talk to Tom and Brian and the judges every week. I mean, except for maybe Jerry. I'm just kidding, Jerry. But I'm also super happy to have had this awesome opportunity and to have met all these incredible people and to have done all these really amazing projects. And I'm happy to have my time back so that I can do more cool projects. There have been so many ideas that have come out of this that I want to give a shot. And that's exciting and a little overwhelming. I do want to say thank you to my final team, to Bill and Monica, and especially to Joe. You guys were all absolute rock stars, and you made that even better than I could have hoped. You guys rock, and I hope that we can all do stuff together again. So yeah, this was intense all the way through, from beginning to end. It was a roller coaster. I'm happy that the good definitely, I think, outweighed the bad, but it was decidedly a more intense experience than I had expected. So now it's back to reality, I guess, and back behind the mic, and I'll see you guys all around the internet.